Sam, hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode 430 of the Mana Pool, brought to you, as always, by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell Magic cards. You should totally go there and check it out, because, you know, Magic cards. Duh. Yay. I am Chewy. I am playing the Angel in tonight's episode. Yes, that's right, we're going back to the RPG. With me, as always, are some other RPers.
Hey, I'm Dorks. Brian. I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler, the tangent master, and for tonight, I will once again be the dungeon master, game master, whatever title you want to use for this thing. And while Chewy was rambling to himself for a while, I kind of imagined the Garfield minus Garfield comic with just Chewy by himself. What would the podcast sound like if it was just Chewy talking to himself for 2 hours?
Sounds like every other Thursday night of my life.
I'm Mike. I'm the rules guy. Yeah, oh boy. I'm the rules guy and the game lore guy and the punching master of the party.
Oh, yeah. What's your
character's name?
Hareem.
Abdul Jabbar?
Punching soldier. No.
That's good. That would be weird. I think that's copyrighted.
Probably.
And I am Dirk, the self-proclaimed greenest man alive and moral compass of the group. And I am your as yet undetermined person in terms of abilities and all that.
What's your name?
Alaric Cross.
Yes.
So I'm sure you'll be getting into the mix this time, so.
I intend to.
Yes. Now bear in mind, everyone, this is still only the second time that most of us have ever done this. So
yes. So it's gonna be
anything goes wrong, blame Kareem, cause he's done this before.
So far he's the only one actually, you know, the Angel's been flying around a little bit, helping you get a sense of your bearings, but yeah, this is still a work in progress. I would say we're a little rough around the edges, except that's not really fair. We're kind of rough in the middle and on the side and underneath, so.
Yeah, I didn't know where Chewy was going right before he blamed me, and I was about to say 1, 2, 3, not it, but I was too slow. I was too slow.
So, just as a brief recap, our brave planeswalker adventurers found themselves stuck on the plane of Trevester. They were trying to go somewhere else, and they found themselves here at the bottom of a crater. They had a nice little introduction with the settlement around there, who apparently put planeswalkers in a great deal of respect. And then they were basically, you know, saying, all right, you need to get out of here because planeswalkers that come here don't stay. And after some wandering around in the woods and managing to not fight anything at all, including I think you came across some sleeping bears.
Gorillas. And,
gorillas, that's right. Gorillas, thank you. He remembers. You managed to tiptoe past them with all the grace and subtlety of prima ballerinas.
All the grace and subtlety of an angel with no sword!
And you've actually spent a couple nights. You've so far used up 1 day's supply of your food, which you remember your pouch holds about 3 days worth of dried foods. Mm-hmm. And you've got plenty of water left in your canteens. That's not a problem. They found themselves toward a river. Kareem wanted to get his fortune told by an extremely suspect merfolk, who then attacked him. And Kareem, in retaliation, pulled him to the shore, punched him in the face, and the face went bye-bye. So
they had not there any morosis.
Not there any morosis. I love it. And then you continued wandering along, following the river, came to a bridge going to an island city, which was where you were headed. And on the way, I think at least a couple people heard you talking about, you know, getting rid of the merfolk. They were like, thank you. He's, you know, he was a scourge upon our people, a plague upon the land. And, and the name of Kareem is already starting to spread a little bit. And, the Vidalkin that you spoke to originally told you to, seek out his friend, and somebody remember his friend's name?
Aerodeth.
Aerodeth. And so that is as far as you've gotten. So you now stand at the gates to the city of Edda. It is an island city because it's on an island. And I, one of the remarks from last time was that I had a bit of especially at the beginning, I was kind of giving to, in order to try and set the stage. I had a bit of a cutscene that went on for a little bit, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, we had to sit through the opening cinematic.
Yeah, so we're not gonna do that this time. You find yourself at a city. I will describe it as it's fairly largely gray landscape. There are a couple parks that you can see scattered here and there, but it looks like it's a pretty decent sized city. This is a much much larger settlement than the one around the crater, and you find yourself right now, if you picture a map, you are at the southwest side of the city. The buildings are generally about one or two stories, and they go in just about every direction, but it looks like the city's laid out pretty well.
Nice.
There's people walking all around. You see a couple humans, a couple Vidalkin, and interestingly enough, one or two Kitsune.
Foxy.
Foxy.
Wait, did we get any indication about, I can't remember the guy's name anymore, about where this person lives? Aerodeth?
Your friend just said, look, I have to go back and listen to the episode. I don't believe the Vidalkin actually said, hey, he's at the da-da-da-da-da. But you can stop and ask for directions.
So we should just ask around then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Guys.
So.
Yes. Kareem, dude, you got merfolk on your sleeve. Could you?
Oh, I thought I got this.
Oh. You're so lucky I don't have a sword. So. What? So we're here now. What do? We got to find a guy. I assume he's a guy. I don't even know what kind of guy.
Yeah, I think people are probably going to be more comfortable talking to you, so maybe you should do the asking.
I don't know, man. You're the one who smashed the merfolk who was causing them problems, so they might actually like you.
Right.
To be honest, the fact that they're making such a big deal out of that was solved with, you know, one person punching another person in the face. I don't know. that doesn't give me a very high opinion of them.
It is a little Children of the Cornish, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a reference that comes from my home plane.
Sure it does.
It's got nothing to do with... Who said that? Anyway, so, I mean, I am very hot, so maybe they would want to talk. Anyway, so what do we do now, you guys?
I guess we need to ask around to find the dude.
Okay. Well, we've got... That's a human type thing. Those are more Vidalkins. What do you call the white fox looking people?
Kitsune.
Right. So who do we want to go talk to?
Who's closer?
Well, you got eyes just as well as I do.
Okay.
Maybe
Brian could tell me what they freaking
while,
see.
While you are standing somewhat arguing amongst yourselves about what to do, a guard posted at the entrance to the city comes over and says, "Pardon me, gentlemen and lady. Welcome to Edda. Can I assist you with anything?"
We are looking for – is it Aerodeth?
Yes.
You're looking for
Aerodeth. By chance, do you know where Aerodeth is?
And the guard replies that, well, actually, just about everyone here who knows anything about anything knows who Aerodeth is. Aerodeth works at the library, and you notice that the guard looks a little more formal and stands up a little straighter as he says the words "the library." So,
library.
Do you require any assistance in moving about town?
Yeah, where's the library?
The city is laid out into four quadrants. Where you are right now is the shopping district. To the north of here is the residential district, where housing is provided for city residents. Directly across from that, in the east, In the northeast is our government buildings. And then south of that and east of here is more industrial and commercial type buildings.
Okay. So the government quarters where the library is?
Actually, the library itself takes up the center circle of town.
I could have guessed that.
All roads lead to the library.
So I say, let's go to the library.
Wait. He said we're in the shopping district. Good guard, sir. Is there a good place around here where an angel could get a sword?
Well, seeing as how you need a sword, yes, there are a couple locations. I think the best location would probably be only a couple blocks away. I find myself that I have enjoyed going to Weapons and Armor by Sheaf.
Sheaf, you say?
Yes. Excellent. The name of his the name of his shop is called Weapons and Armor by Sheaf. It's not the most original, but he always gives you a good deal.
I will go talk to this Sheaf person. Thank you, sir. Hey, is there anything else around here that's worth checking out? What else can we buy in the shopping district?
Well, there are – he gestures in all directions. There are many shops. It all depends on what you're looking for. Off the top of my head, I could tell you about the weapon store. There's several restaurants and bakeries. There is at least one tavern that I enjoy going to, and there are other stores where you may stock up on provisions for trips. While you were in town, you should probably also stay in at the inn called the Open Door. It is a very high quality inn.
Nice. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
You're welcome. Please enjoy your stay in Edda. But please be aware that we do take our laws and our peace very seriously here. Any sort of disturbance will not be tolerated, and you will be escorted out of town if you cause any disturbance with the peace.
I assure you the sword is not to be used inside the city. Gotcha.
All right, then.
I just don't have a sword, and it really sucks.
After looking each of you over again, he seems content that you don't mean any harm, and he goes back to his station.
Awesome.
Hey, Kareem, we should have asked him if there was a place to get Alaric over here some female companionship.
I don't remember that being a plot point, but whatever.
Look, he hasn't said much for like 2 days. I'm just trying to get him to loosen up.
I'm sure we can find something near the tavern, but let's go shopping first.
So do we want to hit the library and talk to the dude, or should we go shopping first?
Let's gear up.
Right.
Buy some fat loot.
Can I go get a sword now?
Yes.
Can we go check out Weapons and Armor by Sheaf? It's so now. It's so today. It's such a nice shop name.
Swordy day.
It's swordy day.
All right. The city is laid out very orderly. You could tell that these blocks are pre-planned by some planning committee or builders organization. So the signs are fairly easy to read. So you don't have to worry about losing your way too badly. I will just ask, who's leading the way?
Who was the one that was good for that?
That's me.
Oh, good.
Okay.
With the tracking.
So what store are you wanting to go to?
Weapons and Armor by Sheaf.
Armor by Sheaf.
All right. Mike,
swordy day.
Mike, go ahead and roll a
d20. D20, okay. Five.
I swear if you get me lost before I can get to work.
All right. You do start heading in the direction that appears to be leading toward the what I'll call the armaments district of the shopping quarter. And you find yourself in front of a store labeled Mel's Potions. Do you want to go inside or do you want to keep looking around?
I need anything from there. I don't think so.
Is this sort of like, Bob's Meat? Like, we should just never go there.
That's completely up to you. It's probably worth remembering.
So it looks
fairly identical to all the other shops. It looks clean from the outside, and the sign simply says Mel's Potions.
Good old Mel, where everybody knows your name. We'll come back to that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
You think you all can find the weapon shop this time there?
Of course I can find the weapon shop.
It's tricky.
Look at all the signs. The signs are amazing.
The signs are pretty good. Do you want to try rolling a D20 again?
All right. Nine.
Well,
right next
skill
is
to,
two, by the way.
Right next to the Mel's Potions and around the corner is Weapons and Armor by Sheaf.
Told you so. All
right. Yay.
As you head into the store, I'm assuming you're going in, right? So you're not.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. You're not. Okay. Congratulations, you found it. You go in.
We just came here to read the sign.
You go in. The store is brightly lit. You see weapons of many shapes and sizes and a few suits of armors in various states around the room. Ooh. A human male comes out from behind the counter, introduces himself as Sheaf, says welcome to his establishment, and offers for you to go ahead and look around, but to simply ask if you want to touch any of the merchandise before ask before you touch anything. Basically, you break it, you don't buy it, you get, you know, thrown out.
Hand chomped off.
Yeah.
And more of that. But he's a little rotund. He appears to be a fairly gregarious sort of gentleman.
Nice. Gregorious. Well, thank you very much, Sheaf. I would like to say I love the font on your sign. That's very nice. The sign is amazing. A guard sent us here special to you.
Oh.
And I would like a sword. Do you have swords, preferably ones that would count as heavy weapons?
Well, I actually
would be considered a two-handed sword.
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I appreciate any references from the local guardsmen. I get most of my wares either in trade from travelers, and you'll notice that I have a variety of different weapons and armor. I do also have some locally produced items from a blacksmith in the southeastern corner of our town. For you, and he kind of looks you over, if you're looking for a sword, I do have a scimitar that may not be considered heavy weapon. And then I do have a much larger claymore.
Claymore, you say?
Would you care to see either of these items?
I would love to try out the claymore.
Well, I can't let you try it out, he says with a laugh. But he does point you in the direction of a display case where you see a claymore. It looks to be in good condition. It appears to be made out of either steel, iron, or some similar ore. It doesn't have any markings as far as you can tell. It has a few nicks on the blade, but from some use, but it has a long way to go before it shatters.
Nice. Do you mind? Can I give it a test swing real quick?
He looks at you carefully, and then he takes it out of the case and hands it over to you gingerly. Even with your strength, you do need both hands to get a proper grip on the weapon.
Seems to have good balance. Nice. Feels right. I like it. How much
for this item?
Fine sword, be sir.
This item is one of the more expensive in my collection, simply because of the amount of material that went into making it. I will charge you the low, low price of 9 gold pieces for this item.
Let's see here. Hang on a minute. Let me go check my skills again. Okay, I didn't get negotiate or anything. Wait, did either of you guys have any negotiate?
No.
Dirk, did you have negotiate? I'm sorry, did Alaric?
Sorry, I'm muted. Yes, I do have negotiate.
I was wondering if he was going to keep up the pretense of not talking.
Yeah.
Alaric has negotiate of 3.
I do. I also want to look into getting a weapon. Does talking to the shopkeeper, by chance, would you also have a bow and arrow?
So you would prefer something a little more ranged. I think I have just the item for you. he walks you over to another side of the build of the building where you see mounted on the wall a bow and quiver with about 15 arrows on it. Alaric, you notice that carved into the bow is a sign you recognize very well as one that's put there on Innistrad to ward from evil.
Okay.
It's the Avacyn Collar.
Oh. Okay. I will definitely take the bow and arrow.
Wonderful. That was
now,
easy.
How much is the bow and arrow?
Well, seeing as how you are a gentleman of rather refined taste, I believe I can part with the bow and the quiver with the arrows inside, which you note happen to be tipped with silver, for a mere 6 gold pieces.
Okay, hey, pardon me a moment there, good sir.
Yes.
Alaric, dude. Wonder if we can, you're good with,
How about, say we haggle him down a little bit?
Well, I was thinking we could offer like a package deal. You know, we'll take the sword and this and whatever, Cream wants and offer him like, as a package deal, all of this for some amount and see if he goes for it. What do you think?
Okay.
You think this is an idea that would work?
Let's try it.
All right. Hey, you.
All right.
With the merfolk on you. Wait. We could see, we gotta add more stuff to it.
If you guys need some money, you can just ask.
What? No, we got plenty of money. We just wanted to, is there anything you want? And we'll see if we can, cause look, he can negotiate. We might as well try it.
Uh huh.
So is there anything you want over here?
I see what you're saying. Yes, there is. Let's see. Hey, you said there was some stuff here that was made by a local artisan. I'd like to check some of that stuff out.
All right.
Support your local folks here.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
He gestures to a rack and you see several iron daggers mounted on the rack. These are locally made.
God, it's like Skyrim.
I've never actually played Skyrim. So.
Someone's trying to level up their crafting skill.
You just
keep making iron daggers and then you sell them and then you make iron daggers. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Is that actually something you do?
It's a way to grind your crafting, I forgot what it's called in Skyrim, but yeah.
Yeah, smithing skill is the specific
smithing.
One.
That's the one.
Do you have like a baking skill in that game?
No.
It's not a skill, but you can cook.
Because I would love to grind cupcakes, so.
To make some bread.
Anyway, so, yeah. So you can see, we have several iron daggers here produced by the smithy that I have a good contact with.
Cool.
Also, over in our armor department, there is a light buckler shield made of a similar material that he also makes for me.
Okay, cool. Daggers look cool. Buckler is cool. Has he made any like short swords or something like that, or not really?
Well, I do have this scimitar that I offered to your winged friend a moment ago.
That's true.
It is a little more exotic. And he points you over to another case where you see a scimitar.
I like the sound of that.
Engraved with a particular logo on it. Looks a bit like a fist.
Cool.
That seems just your style too.
It does. I'm actually curious about all three of those things. A dagger and a short sword and a buckler.
The daggers are relatively cheap to make. They are still high quality, mm-hmm. But the daggers will cost you 1 gold apiece. Currently I have 3 in stock.
Mm-hmm.
The scimitar, being as it is from a far away land, will cost you 7 gold pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And this light shield, and he walks you over to the armor department, will cost you 2 gold. Now, if you're looking for something a little sturdier, with nothing against the buckler shield, but if you're looking for something a little, they'll offer a little more protection. I do also have this other shield, and he points to a shield that, at first glance, looks like it's simply made out of wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is it about this one?
This one is made from a wood that I have never actually seen before. I believe one passerby some time ago identified it as dour bark.
Huh.
Cough, snake oil, cough. What?
The light buckler shield will cost you 2 gold. If you decide to go for this handsome shield over here, this one will cost you 5 gold.
Wait a minute. Dourbark.
Yeah, it's from Shadowmoor.
Right. Is that good? That's good stuff, right? Is that enchanted or extra resilient, or is he just charging you more because it's exotic?
Yeah, it was made from a tree folk, so it's got to be something to it.
Huh.
You know what? I like to sound all of that. The scimitar and the 3 daggers and the dourbark shield.
All right.
Let's take this golden opportunity here.
All right. So for you, you want 3 daggers, a scimitar, and the dourbark shield. That will come to 15 gold. Would you care to check out now?
Yeah, yes. I think we found everything.
I don't guess I need any sort of armor, do I? Nah, I'm an angel. Alaric, you need any armor?
Nope. I'm a monk. I don't carry armor.
That's a good call.
He looks all three of you over. Are all of you paying together or separately?
Okay, Dirk, Alaric, okay. You should totally bust out the negotiate.
We will be paying together. And I think since we are using my negotiation skill, since we are paying as a group, would there be a discount since we are buying all this material together?
Buying in bulk, yeah.
He considers your offer. Dirk, I'd like for you to go ahead and roll a D20. And for the shopkeeper, I'm going to be rolling a D12. So okay. Just tell me what you get.
11.
He considers your offer and he says, I do greatly appreciate the patronage of travelers, and I am very grateful to the guard for sending you this way. So, shoot, well, I'm breaking the fifth wall, whichever wall I'm breaking here. What was the total? I'm trying to.
Let's see, mine was 9, his was 15. Dirk, what was yours?
Mine was 5.
So 29?
Wait. Dirk, was yours 5? I thought yours was six.
Was it?
I was not paying that much attention.
I thought it was five or six.
What did you say, Mike?
I thought it was 7, but I think I'm being confused by something else.
Okay, so what was that total
again?
Let's
be in the middle and say 6.
All right, so 6 plus 15 is 21, plus 9, that's 30.
So it's 30.
All right. I do appreciate your patronage, and because you will be buying a large number of items, then I suppose I can knock off about 7 gold pieces.
Nice.
So if you'll pay,
oh jam!
If you'll pay 23 gold, then I can send you out on your way. But as a reminder, I must remind you not to use weapons inside the city for fear of exile.
Right.
So
we appreciate what you have discussed with us. Thank you for reminding us.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
So you hand over.
Now we have to do math to figure out how much each of us owe.
Should I like flash him some cleavage or something as a thank you? I do have high charm.
You do have high charm. You want to try it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Blow him a kiss. Why not?
A kiss and a wink.
Do it.
You've got charm of 3. This is a male character.
Let's say we have not yet handed him the money, so do it before we actually hand him the money to see if he'll knock off a little bit more.
Okay.
All right.
He's my feminine wild.
This man's trying to get by.
You have said thank you. You've already said thank you for knocking the price down. But if you want to go ahead and flash him, then now's the time.
I didn't say flash.
If you want to apply your charm skill.
For the record, you have to pay well for these. And sure, I'll give him a wink and blow him a kiss.
So, all right. Roll a d6. Because you're so good at this.
I rolled a 5.
Holy cow. He pretty much falls to the floor, starting with his jaw and then almost the rest of him, and manages to shake himself off. And he says, thank you so much. Thank you for coming into my store. I appreciate your business greatly. Let me include a couple extra arrows for that nice quiver you've got there. And I'll throw in that shield that you were looking at as well.
Ooh.
Well, does anyone else want the shield? I don't know if I can carry two.
One shield in each hand.
You can two-fist it. Maybe we could...
They can make a dagger shield.
Whoa.
Sort of like a sword chain.
You know, wait a minute, what, is there any reason to have a second shield, or should we tell him we appreciate it, but...
No, we'll take it.
What?
I'll carry the shield.
Okay, sure, fine, whatever.
Okay, fair enough.
You've got a bow and arrow, but yeah, you can strap the shield to your back, so...
Yeah.
You have to have both hands available to fire a bow and arrow. That is how that works.
Hey, you're not a monk. You don't know.
All right. So
Brian, how much does each of us owe for our stuff?
Are each of you paying for your own things?
So he said 20.
He's giving you a deal. It was 30. He's dropping it down to 20. What did I say? 20. 23?
You said 7 off.
Yeah. So he doesn't really care how you pay. And Dirk, for the record, he's throwing in an extra 5 arrows. You notice that these aren't tipped with silver. He's obviously taking these from his, you know, general stock versus, you know, genuine Innistrad made were hunter issue. But it's still 5 more arrows and the shield. So it's 23 gold, however you guys want to pay for it.
So let's see. Mine was 9.
He gave us slightly more than a 25% discount.
Yeah. So I'll knock 2 off of mine and throw in 7. Does that sound right?
So if you're paying 7, then there's still 16 to pay.
I'll pay 6 and Mike can pay 10.
Yeah, that makes... Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll work it all out.
All right.
These ten gold didn't really belong to me anyway.
That's true.
All right.
So Mike's paying 10 and has 17. Chewie's paying 6 and has 7. And Dirk, how much gold did you have?
10.
Did you have 10?
I have 4 gold.
You have 4 gold.
Wait a minute. I'm paying 7 and have 6 left.
You're paying 7 and have 6 left. I'm sorry. I had that backwards. All right. Chewie's taking the claymore.
Woohoo! Sword.
And nothing else. Alaric is taking the bow and arrows.
And there's 15 silver arrows, you said, right?
15 silver, 5 looks like iron.
Nice.
And Alaric also has a buckler.
Oh, yeah. I would take it, but I don't have anywhere to strap it because wings.
Breastplate.
Breastplate.
Okay.
Ooh. So wait a minute. Did you buy 3 daggers because you really like daggers, or is that like one for each of us?
Well, I might need to throw them at something.
Oh, fair enough. Dagger. Okay.
First thing is that he isn't close enough to punch. So
that's true. Okay. Yeah.
He might have to do the stabby somebody in the face, whip out another dagger, stabby someone else in the face, okay. have a third dagger.
I just want to make sure I've got all the. So Chewie's taking the claymore. Kareem is taking the. 3 iron daggers and the dour bark shield, and
the scimitar,
and the scimitar. I knew I was forgetting something.
The Boros scimitar.
You're pretty well traveled. All right. Sheaf says, "Thank you for visiting. Is there anything else I can assist you with today, good sirs and madam?"
Can you point us in the direction?
He's looking at the angel a little more closely than he was before.
So
what was that?
Do we want to head off to the library now, gentlemen?
Yeah. Let's check it out.
Yeah, I think we should progress the story along some. This fabulous shopping simulator that the listeners are hearing.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, Sheaf, the quickest route to the library?
Sure. The fastest route to the library is to head out of here and head due northeast.
Right.
Okay. For about 3 blocks.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, sir.
You are welcome. Thank you for visiting, and please come again.
Thank you so much for my sword. I feel whole again. And seriously, that's a really nice sign.
I am very glad you like it, m'lady. He bows a little lower than he needs to.
All right, guys, can we get out of here? He's creeping me out.
Yes, yes, you made a friend. Awesome.
I made a friend.
So right. You head out of the store, you start heading in the direction of the library, correct? Is that where you're intending to go?
Yes.
From where you are, it's only a couple blocks away. It's fairly easy to see. It's one of the larger buildings around. It appears to be fairly tall. It looks to be around 5 stories. And when you come into the center of town, it's basically like there's a giant circle going around it where that's cleared out. It's made out of an unusual array of blue, gray, and light green stones. There's an entrance at the south end of the building.
You guys never saw the library at Alexandria, did you? Or had, no, you couldn't have, because you weren't planeswalkers back then, but this looks nothing like that.
Okay. Hmm.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Should we go in? I have a sword.
Yes, we should.
All right. As you go in, you notice that you are in a fairly spacious reception area. A homunculus behind the counter notes your presence and alerts a Vidalkin. The Vidalkin strides over to you and says, "Welcome to the Library of Edda. How can I assist you today?"
"We have been sent to find Aerodeth. Do you know Aerodeth?"
"Absolutely. May I ask what the nature of this visit is? Concerning?"
We are planeswalkers passing through your lovely little plane, and this is the... We weren't familiar with the place yet, and this is the direction we were pointed in to continue our journey.
At the mention of the word planeswalkers, the Vidalkin seems to turn up her nose a little bit, but she says, "Very well. If you would care to see Aerodeth, I will escort you. Please note that while you are in the library, do not attempt to remove any of our volumes from the premises. They are all enchanted, so that should any of them try to be removed, they will be simply returned to our shelves. Thank you. Follow me." She leads you up a large staircase to the second floor. You note as you go along that while this building appeared to be about 5 stories tall, each floor has elevated ceilings, so it may not be as many stories inside as it appeared from the outside. Huh. The rooms are quite voluminous in here. On the second floor, you notice many, many bookshelves going in each direction. She leads you down a path to the northeastern side of the building where there is an office set against the wall. She opens the door and lets you inside. As she opens the door, a woman comes out of the office. She gives each of you a fairly long look over. She seems almost surprised to see you. This woman is in her late 30s, early 40s, appears to be human or possibly elven, definitely not Vidalkin or anything like that. She has white hair with streaks of blue and gold in it, a set of spectacles hanging around her neck, and appears to be dressed in rather utilitarian clothing, but with an interesting array of colors that you haven't seen anyone else on Trevestor wear. Hmm. "Are you here to see Aerodeth?" she asks.
"Yes, ma'am."
"All right, then. Well, welcome to Trevestor. May I ask what brings you here?"
"Well, we were traveling through the Blind Eternities, and we just kind of ended up here. None of us really understood why."
"You can't seem to leave."
At the mention that you can't seem to leave, she seems almost startled. She takes a moment to think about that, and she says, "I'm very sorry for the trouble. Hopefully someone here can assist you. If you ever find yourself needing help, Trevestor finds a way to help out those that truly need it." At that, she starts to move past you.
"All right, then."
"So, can we see Aerodeth now?"
"Are you asking her?"
"Yes, yes."
"Or are we? Okay. I thought she was leaving."
She turns, looks back at you, and says, "If you wish, I don't have any particular function here. I am done with my business and I am on my way. I will see you later. Well, sorry.
That's oh my breaking, God. That's me breaking character. It's I am error.
She says, if
you I don't wish, work here. I'm just asking.
Basically, yeah. You get the sense, you know, she's just kind of passing through. You turn around. The Vidalkin apparently has gone back to the first floor. She assumed you could go through a door on your own. And inside.
She assumed wrong.
you can make out a figure inside. It's dimly lit inside. Do you want to go ahead and go inside?
Real quick, before we go in here, does anybody else find it really weird to be so open about being planeswalkers? This is the thing that we keep on the down low.
Well, the guys in the village seem to be cool with it.
Reverent to us.
I know, it just feels like we're always so careful not to rile up the natives about the sort of thing on every plane we've ever been to. This is just weird to me.
Well, to them it seemed like it was a thing that happened all the time, so people here are used to it, so I figured...
That's weird too.
Well, whatever weird thing that trapped us has obviously trapped a bunch of other people, so this is just a weird place.
This is all just going to be a big side quest, isn't it? Okay, we should go talk to Herodeth.
Okay.
As you enter the office, you note that it's fairly sparsely decorated. Herodeth turns to greet you. Herodeth is apparently a wind elemental. Its figures appear both feminine and masculine, sometimes shifting between them. It is wearing loose-fitting clothing that seems to ripple as the air moves around, mostly blue robes and
Brian's notes are all over the place.
They're a few metallic bracelets. You get the sense that it wears these clothes not because it has to, but to put some definition to its shape that makes it easier to interact with, you know.
To make the rest of us feel better.
Exactly. Yeah. Welcome to the library, it states.
Hi.
What brings you here today?
Well, we are planeswalkers. And as we were traveling through the Blind Eternity, something pulled us here and dropped us off, and now we can't get out. And everyone we've met has pointed us in this direction, and our last bit of instruction was to come to talk to you about it.
The library holds answers to any question you could possibly conceive. May I ask your names?
I am Kareem Ferris.
Oh, Kareem! It lights up. I may have heard something about you. I believe that you cured our city of a certain nuisance that had been plaguing us.
Yeah, I walloped that merfolk that had been attacking people.
I've heard rumors all day about...
hero here.
I've heard rumors all day of Kareem, he of the bloody fist.
I was just as surprised as everyone else, to be honest.
Do not sell yourself short. We are grateful for your presence. Who are your traveling companions? Are they your servants, or are they your peers?
They're my friends.
Do I like us?
Go ahead, Chewie.
Oh, no, you should totally go first.
Okay. My name is Alaric Cross.
That's an unusual name. Welcome to our city.
Thank you.
You can call me the Angel.
We call her Angie. She doesn't like it, so...
I have a sword now, you know. As soon as we get out of this city...
And as soon as you get a name, I'll start calling you that instead.
Herodeth seems somewhat bemused by your banter. Do you call yourself the Angel because that is your name? Or is that your name because you are an angel?
That was the first thing I was called after something happened that took my memory. I don't actually know my real name.
Well, I don't know if you'll find the answer to that riddle here, but we believe that the library holds answers to any questions that are worth asking.
Okay, so I had gotten the impression that there had been multiple travelers in our situation who'd passed through here before. But now I'm getting the now I'm starting to get the feeling that we're an unusual case and that we can't just go merrily on our way.
It has been some time since we have seen visitors from another world here. It's true, I have seen many of your kind. Although it's difficult to tell, I don't have a strong sense of the passage of time, so I cannot tell you how many, but it does seem that the frequency of such visits has lessened, especially of late. I was summoned to this plane, I am not sure by whom, but I have been here in this library for many years. I have heard of the great event that weakened your kind, and I have heard of the trials and tribulations that have arisen as a result. And I have met many before that claim themselves to be gods, and I have met many afterward that also claim to be gods. Do you think you are gods?
No, I'm just really pretty.
No, we're regular folks who happen to fall into extraordinary power.
I am pleased to hear you say that. Those that do not think that their power are limitless are usually more receptive to having their questions answered.
All right. So where do you recommend we start our study? Magic? Physics? Magical physics?
Well, here in the library we have multitudes of volumes on magic and science, literature, geography, anything that your heart may want to know the answer to. The library is broken down into three different floors, and each floor has a different subject or group of subjects for which you may peruse. Just remember that you may not remove any volumes from our library unless you are a fellow member of the library. And to do that, you must, unfortunately, be an official resident of the city.
Okay.
As far as where to go from here, is that what you're asking me?
Well, I was just asking for some advice on what you think would be the best subjects to study to figure out why we can't pass back through to the blind eternities and get back on our way.
We do have a few volumes on our third floor that appear to be, as far as we can tell, accounts by other travelers from other worlds. Okay. Perhaps they might answer your questions. We also have an extensive geography section on this floor. The first floor is mainly fiction. I don't believe you'll find anything down there that could be an answer to that question.
Okay.
I wonder if they've got book two of the Dresden Files.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that work.
Oh, I'm just talking out loud. Don't mind me.
If I may, have you talked or met a planeswalker yourself?
Don't answer the question. He did just tell us, yes, he's met multiple planeswalkers.
Oh, okay. Then what path have you set them on?
The path I set them on is one of personal discovery.
Okay. The answer was in you all along.
I have a sword now,
so I don't really need any more self-discovery.
I do not know why you are here. I do not know what is in store for you. All I can tell you is that you can learn much here, and perhaps in the end you will find your own answers.
Do you know of any of the fates of the planeswalkers who came here before?
Unfortunately, because I am bound to this library, I cannot leave. If I were to attempt to leave, I think I would cease to be. But due to the nature of my summoning, I simply have no desire to do so. I am quite content here. They all seem to be searching for something. Many have questioned me about the originator.
Hey, that lady who was walking out right as we came in, was she a planeswalker or just a researcher?
Aerith forms a bit of a smile before it disappears into the wind. That was a woman very interested in information of all kinds. he may be what you call a planeswalker, although I don't really have any way of knowing for sure, as I am not able to leave here. But I will tell you that she is one of the library's most prolific visitors.
Interesting. All right, well, I'm going to go check out some of those journals left by the other travelers.
I'm going with you.
Awesome. I'm going as well.
Man, you guys stick together like glue. As you turn to leave, you notice that there is one other door out of the office toward the back. It appears to be firmly closed.
Well, I'm not going to snoop around someone's office.
Not while he's there.
No, not while he's there.
Yeah.
That's just
So you leave. You notice that there is a sign toward a central pillar, again laying out the library and the basic floors of what is where. As Aerith told you, the first floor has the entrance in the fiction section. The second floor houses the Aerith's office. And all sections relating to natural sciences, including flora and fauna indexes and geography. And then the third floor says historical records, magical studies, and simply other tomes and volumes. So where do you want to go from here?
You know, you guys, I went to the library in Alexandria once. They had a much more detailed system.
So I guess, okay, I'm not, this might sound humorous, but I'm actually being serious. I guess I've been making kind of a big assumption here that my character is literate. Is that a fair assumption, you think, given my background and what,
I think that's a good assumption for each of you, given the backgrounds that you have given me. There's not going to be a question of whether or not you can read these. Depending on what you're reading, there might be an issue of comprehension.
Got it. Okay, just wondering.
Yeah. I will also note that the building is rather large. It's a couple city blocks long in each direction. It's almost perfectly square, or appears to be perfectly square. And you have been between the weapon shop and the library, you have been in here for some time.
Okay, I guess, how is this stuff cataloged? Is there an attendant nearby we can ask about that?
You see what appears to be a specter hovering nearby.
Oh, maybe they don't need it to be terribly organized because they have these information ghosts here. Let's find out. Excuse me.
The ghost turns to you slowly.
Hail, fair ghost.
The ghost says, how can I help you today?
If we were looking for an account written by someone, say, from not this world, where would that be?
That, madam, would be up on the third floor.
Could you be slightly more specific? It's a big floor.
The ghost almost seems to roll its eyes. It points toward the central staircase and says, if you go up to the third floor, you'll find directories pointing you toward the various sections of volumes. You will most likely find what you are looking for in our miscellaneous volumes.
Excellent. By the way, do you work here, or am I just bothering someone else who's browsing? I'm so sorry.
The ghost almost definitely rolls its eyes at the angel and says, I am bound to this location in servitude for at least the next 100 years. Do you have any other questions?
No, thank you.
So what are you for?
At that, the ghost turns around and appears to be studying a collection of maps, trying to put them in order.
Okay, cool.
So as we walk away, I'm going to say to these guys where the geist hopefully can't hear me, you know, it doesn't matter what world you're in, what plane you're on, library attendants are always just like that. Ghost, Vidalcan, even the odd imp here and there. They all don't want to bother talking to you. It's terrible.
Luckily, the spirit is engrossed in what it's doing. It doesn't hear a word you say.
Good, good. So, third floor.
Third floor.
Right. You go up to the third floor. You see several signs here for different studies. There is apparently a section on history, a section on magical studies, a section on social sciences, and there is a section for miscellaneous. And beneath that, there appears to be a subsection for journals and personal accounts.
Well, I guess we should go there then.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
You go to a section labeled journals and personal accounts. Compared to other sections of the library, this one appears downright minuscule. What you see is essentially one bookcase, still filled, but not tightly, with journals and wrappings and scrolls of various materials, in various states of, one might say, decomposition in some cases, but various states of how well they're put together, how well they are not falling apart, I suppose. Mm-hmm. They all appear to be completely individually made, as opposed to some of the other volumes of the library that look very manufactured.
All right, so we could go through these one at a time until we found something, or until they all sort of fell apart, which would be terrible. Or I could try something.
We want to try.
Well, planeswalkers have their own unique, like, auras, right?
Yeah, you're right.
What if I use some of this out-of-character spiritual awareness to try to figure out which of these books would tell us something useful?
That's an interesting thought.
Trying to figure out which book was connected somehow to a planeswalker.
Right.
Sure.
Okay, you have a spiritual awareness buff, so that's an interesting application. I'll allow it. Let's see. Given the size of the bookshelf, and you have a spiritual awareness of 2. Okay, go ahead and roll a d12.
12. Is this a 12? This is a 12. I got a 6. Wait, the line is the bottom, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's a 9 then.
It's a 9, okay.
Yeah.
As the angel gazes over the bookshelf, trying to tune herself into any items that might have come in contact with someone from another plane, she sees a few of the books start to glow. There's one in particular that glows a bit more than the others, with a interesting bluish-orange texture to it. It's a small, appears to be a leather-bound journal, and it's about halfway through the bookshelf. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, there's a scroll that glows a little less brightly, and then what appears to be almost like a binder that barely glows at all up on the top shelf.
So what do you see?
Okay, so you guys, this one right here is really standing out to me. This one is sort of standing out to me, and that one is glowing a little bit. The rest are just kind of bleh. All
so right.
I guess we should start with this one, because it's on fire here in my brain.
Well, I mean, there's... You said there's 3 things. There's 3 of us. Why don't we just take them all down and start thumbing through?
Good call. I'll take this. They'll take the shiny one. You guys can fight over the last 2 shiny ones.
All right. So the angel takes down the shiny one. It's labeled as the Travel Journal of Artistada.
Which one of these do you want, Alaric? You're probably a better reader than I am.
I'll take the second one.
Okay.
All right. Dirk takes the what? Which one was that? The
not the binder.
The not the binder. Okay, that was the scroll. Okay,
right.
And then Kareem takes the one that almost looks like a binder you might find. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dirk, the one that you hold is labeled the Personal Notes of Rafe. Okay. And it looks from the very beginning to be drawn in an ornate language.
Okay.
I'm so glad you've got that one with your monk.
My monk self.
Your monk skills over there. Okay, what's
Kareem, the one that you're holding appears to be a short story written by Mon Mon.
My first planeswalk.
Well,
at least it's on your intellectual level. So.
Actually, it is a little bit. It appears to be less of a personal account and more of something a child might write if it was so inclined. The yep. reading level for yours doesn't take much comprehension simply because it's fairly basic. From what you can tell, it's simply a short story and doesn't seem to provide you with any insight into your current situation.
Ah, suckers, I got the easy one.
It's about 5 pages long, so.
All right, well, in the time it takes you to muddle your way through that one, I'll have been able to flip through this whole book. So. Don't give me that look, I'm just picking on you. You're not dumb, you're just strong, okay?
The others are a little more complicated. So let's do this. Each of you roll a d6 and tell me what you get.
I got a 6!
Nice. Okay.
I got a 5.
Alright, so both of you are actually able to read through these accounts in a moderate amount of time, and you're able to both understand most of what they say. Dirk, yours, as I said, are the personal notes of Rafe. What you learn is that he is the king of a city named Tyr, or Tyr, T-Y-R. I don't know, I write it, I don't speak it. And it looks from his writings that he may have realized that he was a planeswalker, but he was actually born and raised on Trevester. He was royalty. He was the third king of the line of Din, and most of his writing seems to be talking about the politics of his city. From what he writes, you gather that it's a little to the east of Edda. The angel reads the...
Tyr, you said.
Yeah. The angel reads the travel journal of Aristata. Turns out that he was a merfolk planeswalker. From what you can gather, he was born on
How do you spell that name?
A-R-I-S-T-A-D-A.
Aristata. Ooh, that's a nice name.
He was born on Mercadia. Grew up there, and actually it was a run-in with some of the local officials of the goblin variety that caused his first planeswalk. And since then he had been traveling the multiverse kind of as a well-to-do, a bit of a player, so to speak. And in his occasions, he met... He was a ladies' fish man, to a certain extent. He didn't seem to be the type to be too. He did not concern himself with saving worlds or rescuing people in need. He came. He experienced the finer things in life. Eventually, he went toward the very end of his journal. He mentions receiving an invitation from someone named Donathir. Donathir. And the note said something about coming to Trevester and promising a unique experience unlike anywhere else in the multiverse.
Oh, I see.
A murder mystery dinner theater.
A little bit.
Nice.
After that, it looks like there may have been a few more pages. Not many, maybe 2 or 3. But those... have been removed.
Well, other than this stopping short, it doesn't really tell me much. Apparently someone named Donathir invited him to this plane. And I don't know what happens after that because the pages are missing. And you've got something Kareem, about Kingdom to the East.
Kareem really enjoyed his short story for what it's worth.
It was awesome.
And you've got...
It was uplifting.
You've got a kiddie book. I wonder why that one was glowing. That's odd.
I guess it was written by a planeswalker. I don't know.
Maybe brought here by one, or...
Oh, yeah, maybe that.
Maybe some other planeswalker thumbed through it while their two buddies were doing all the work. But wait a minute. They said if you try to remove anything from the library, it would just come back, right?
I was thinking that. So either the pages were removed by a fellow, or they were already gone by the time the journal was put here.
Right.
As you are finishing and discussing the results of your findings, a homunculus walks up to you and says, "Sirs and madam, I regret to inform you that unfortunately the library will be closing soon for the evening. Please finish your affairs." All right, then wobbles off.
You a cute little fellow.
It is pretty cute, and it wobbles off.
Oh, he was adorable. Can I have one? No, I have a sword. Never mind. Okay, well...
Did you actually say that out loud?
What? No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Under my breath, maybe. So, it looks like they're going to throw us out before we can figure anything out. You guys...
I say we go to a tavern. We were
recommended to stay at the Open Door Inn for the night.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go find something to eat and drink.
Yeah, goodness knows you need to get sloshed again. Maybe you could punch another merfolk.
For a second I was worried that I punched out the ladies' man merfolk, but no, it doesn't sound like that's him.
Yeah, probably not, yeah. The ladies' fish man. He sounds like a tool. I'm just saying.
All right, so you go to exit the library. Mm. On the way out, you notice that the sun is setting and that most of the streets appear to be slowing down, although there is still a fair amount of foot traffic in the shopping district. Is that where you're heading?
Is that where the tavern and the inn are?
That's where just about every business is, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Yeah, we should
okay.
go there.
Are you?
We're gonna go to the industrial district. Espionage.
Okay.
Oh
so.
Yeah. No.
All right. Who's leading the way?
Can we not just follow people?
Well, you want to ask somebody for directions?
I don't know. I don't want to get too caught up in the minutia of getting from point A to point B. If there's
well,
not
sure.
like a, not like a point to it. For the listener's sake.
Well, hey, man, we're new in town. Where do you advise we go to get something to eat and drink?
We could always look up at the street signs that say to the inn.
No, I'm just asking a random person. Hey, man, we're new in town, blah, blah, blah.
Random person.
Yeah.
Random person.
Is that a human person?
That random person happens to be a Vidalkin, turns around, sizes you up, and says, "Yeah, if you're looking for a good time...
Oh
I'd
God.
Stay. You could go to the Musty Tome. It's down that a ways. And each of you think you have never actually seen a Vidalkin drunk before."
That was creepy as hell, Brian. I almost said another bad word there.
Just say creepy AF. We understand.
Okay.
The Musty Tome.
Well, this man obviously knows how to have fun.
Clearly, he knows who's got the good drink.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the establishment he was more or less pointing to.
Awesome. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
I'm always up for an adventure.
I could use an ale and to not stab someone.
You go into the Musty Tome. It appears to be a tavern, much like you would see on many other worlds. Everyone seems to be, you know, fairly hearty, fairly jovial. You don't actually see any fights breaking out, but there are a couple open seats at a table.
I guess we should have checked with the guy to make sure this was a place that also served food, is it?
As you take your seats... A waitress comes over and says, I'm sorry, if you're looking for food, we really don't have a whole lot in the way of, you know, actual meats and entrees. What we do have are spirits to lift you up to the point that you don't even care anymore. Oh, if you're looking for a meal, there are a couple establishments I could point you to. But while you're here, and she's looking a little bit at the angel, she says this, why don't you have a drink or two?
I mean, yeah, sure, why not? I don't like going into a place and then walking out.
We can pregame.
All right. The local specials, we have a tea, if you want to keep yourself fairly clear-headed. We have a sweet ale, a sour-type mead, and the local specialty that everyone's talking about is the Flaming Joe.
Flaming Joe, sold.
I'll just take a sweet ale, thanks.
I'll go for tea.
All right. Okay, she brings you your drinks. Dirk, you're fine. Alaric is able to keep his senses pretty well. The angel, I think,
Mike
went.
The
angel went for the sweet ale, correct?
Yes.
So, I need you to roll a d12, please, Chewie.
Roll a dice to see if I'm getting drunk.
Are there any girls there? The waitress was flirting with me.
But you are a girl.
Oh, hang on. I rolled a, what is that? Seven.
Seven? Okay. So you're doing all right. You're able to follow the conversation pretty well. Mr. Flaming Joe, I need you to roll a d20.
All right.
Now, let's bear in mind, he's a hard-bitten warrior who's been through some things and seen some stuff.
He has.
Much like Mike.
I rolled a 16.
Wow.
He definitely got drunk, and he definitely found some girls.
But he... Wait, no, I think we were rolling for, like, resistance, right?
Yeah. No.
No?
Rolling for drunk.
Dirk had the right of it there.
Oh, God.
I was rolling it based on your character and based on the drink that you ordered. So Alaric is fairly... is clear-headed, is able to kind of keep these other two under control. The angel is... a little giddy, a little happy, and talks a little faster than usual.
Oh my God, you guys, I got a sword. Did you see my sword? Oh my God, I'm so happy I finally got a sword.
Alaric, as he drinks, seems to alternate between being pretty grinning at everything and kind of staring at everything silently, and then suddenly scowling and banging his drink on the table. So
you meant Kareem, didn't you?
I did mean Kareem. Did I say
okay,
Alaric?
That's what I
Sorry.
Mean. Yep.
No, Alaric's just drinking his tea. Kareem is pounding the table a little bit with his drink every couple sips, but also it doesn't seem angry. And Dirk, because you're the clear-headed one, again, you note as you look around, and you've been in many such establishments yourself, that even though there's people in there that are clearly five sheets to the wind, nobody is breaking out in fights. Everyone seems to be giddy or happy, and even the ones that are, you know, maybe look like more the angry drunk don't seem to be engaging in any kind of confrontation.
Mm-hmm. You know, you guys know what I like about having a sword is not having to use it. Now people, look, Dillbody's messing with us because I have a big sword.
You talk a big game. You're sitting there. You're threatening me the whole time. Oh, no, wait till I get my swords. Blah, blah, blah. All talk.
Look, it's not allowed in the city, and you know it.
And I'm glad for it, and I don't have to – maybe once we get out of this city and it is allowed, I won't have to hear you talk about it anymore.
Did you guys notice the windy guy, his robes? Those looked very airy. I bet they were comfy. You know, the windy guy in the book place.
I'm still kind of wondering how those bracelets stayed up in the air.
You know, I think it's because of fashion. we're just filling time until Brian tells us what's going on.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying this way too much.
I wonder, why weren't the last few pages were missing? That's weird, because I bet that'd have told me something good. I got a sword.
Yeah, I mean... There's no way that wasn't important, you know.
Yeah.
after being there for about another 2 hours, the waitress does come to check on you and say, I'm glad you're having a good time. I do think per city regulations, you do need to be moving on. I think you've had enough for tonight. I can tell that your limit, sir, is one Flaming Joe. She turns to
That's
Alaric.
Good stuff right there, man.
She turns
do
to
you
Alaric.
Know where we can get some biscuits? Because I could eat some biscuits.
Well, and she turns to the angel. She says, I'd love to help you out. I really, really would. She really looks like she wants to help the angel out. But unfortunately, most of the restaurants are closed at this area at this time. But I'll tell you, we're only – and she turns to Alaric at this point, who clearly is the only one that has any sense left. We're only about two buildings down from the open door, and I think maybe it'd be a good time for you to collect your friends and head that way.
Do they have biscuits there? I have a sword, you know. You're cute.
The waitress turns back and says, you're cute too, and if you want, you can stop by tomorrow. But I think, honey, it's time for you to get a little bit of sleep. When you get over there, you ask for Fire, F-Y-R.
Fire.
Okay. And tell her you came from here, and they'll set you up. They'll give you a good rate.
Fire.
All right.
How many sweet ales did I have? I feel good. I had a sword.
Well, that's my cue to assist in the claiming of my fellow companions and to make our way out the door.
Hey, as you go out the door,
because I want a biscuit.
As you go out the door, you know that the streets are practically deserted at this point. It's pretty late in the evening, and you can see the inn from where you are. Aside from the library, which is clearly the largest building in town, this building doesn't even come close, but it's still probably the largest building in the shopping district. It looks homey. It has a couple large doors at the entrance, and as you escort your companions in, what appears to be more kitsune than you've ever seen, open the doors. Apparently all the staff appear to be either human or kitsune, and a kitsune behind the desk welcomes you to the open inn, can tell immediately that you have enjoyed the pleasantries of Edda, and says that she does have a room available for you for the low cost of two gold. I'm sorry, are you asking for Fire, sir?
We were told that we should see Fire.
Yeah, the girl down at the Musty Tome told us to ask for Fire.
Fire.
Mm-hmm. FYR, Fire.
Alright. At that, the kitsune...
What do you know what you're saying there, Kareem? You shut up with your Joe. You can only handle it one Joe. I bet I can handle... I got a sword.
at hearing that name, she says, okay, well, she actually owns this establishment. If you're looking to speak to her, that's fine. She's not available at the moment, but I'll tell you what, normally we charge 5 gold for our deluxe room. If you have business with Fire, you can see her in the morning, and I'll go ahead and let you into the deluxe room for 3 gold. How's that sound?
Word.
Does it have room for all of these wings? Because do you see, and I'm going to turn around real quick, do you see all of these wings?
I'm going to go in and use some empathy, or I'm going to use empathy on in and talk with the person.
Empathy?
Yeah. Well, you know, these guys right here, I'm really looking out for their well-being, and I really don't think that we're going to be able to afford something of that sort. You know, have you ever been in that situation where you've got a friend and you really are looking out for them?
It's just 1 gold apiece. I want to go to bed. God.
Can you help us out a little bit?
Unfortunately, your drunken companions are kind of almost negating your empathy bonus here. And the kitsune behind the desk, while they have been fairly polite thus far, says, I'm sorry, sir. You know, that's already a discounted rate. and we're allowing you that because it seems like you're here on business. You're from far away, and Fire and loves to meet people. Loves to meet travelers. I'm afraid if that's too expensive, you can stay somewhere else for the night.
No, that's fine. That's, oh, we that's got fine. It. I have it's all these wings.
We got this. We got this. We got this. We got this.
Here, okay. Here's my gold. You can have this one for me.
All right, so the angel pays 3 gold.
No, I'm paying 1 gold because it's 3 gold.
It's one apiece. Yeah, it's one apiece.
You fools okay. Can throw in your – I got a sword.
All right, Alaric,
all
are
these
you
– wings.
Alaric, are you paying your gold piece?
I'll pay my gold piece.
Okay. Ow. All right. You are escorted.
Door frame.
You are escorted upstairs by a team of no less than.
Would you roll for the number of porters, please?
6 porters.
You did have 16.
I think at least they're requiring at least 2 or 3 to hold up each of the angel. And Kareem, but they managed to get you upstairs and you fall into a rather immediate and pleasant sleep. And I have more, but I can't imagine that there's a better place to stop for this than that.
Drunk I'm all in bed. These wings.
You no, guys
neither of you touch my sword while I'm sleeping. I'm asleep with my sword in its little scabbard.
You guys were a little too good about that. And Chewie wasn't – the angel wasn't really that sloshed, although I'm going to – you are so in character. I'm going to let it go. We'll just assume that – you know
– you said we were there for like 2 hours. I'm not just going to drink a sweet ale and – yeah.
You're also lucky that bartender was not – the waitress was not charging what she was supposed to. I think that's mostly because of Chewie. So
I'm super hot and I have all these wings and a sword.
Rightio. So
she was cute. Do you guys think she was okay? Sorry.
You can stop now. otherwise, I might actually have to come and bring a breathalyzer. So, so what do you think? Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
That was me breathalyzing.
I think we learned some more interesting things about this place.
This was not a really combat heavy. You could have, if I'm trying to be a little more open with it. And if you guys decided, hey, you know, I want to leave town right now and go fight a bear, you could have gone and fight a bear. But this, obviously, in the city, it's not especially combat driven. So, but you know,
I really want to take my sword and try to stab Windy Guy through his bracelets. But no, let's not do that. Bet I can hook a bracelet with my claymore. Give me, bet you 5 gold.
Hey man, what's that door in the back of your office?
Well, I'm gonna go look.
You know what you're doing is you're encouraging me as I'm, this world is pretty much built, but I'm gonna have to go back and add a bar every 3 steps because this is just a little too amusing for me. If we can just keep Kareem and the angel in a perpetual state of drunkenness, then this will be a very amusing story indeed.
One,
we'll have to see what happens.
Joe,
next
what are
time.
You, some kind of a bitch?
Leave me alone, man. I'm trying to go to sleep.
What was in that anyway? Because you were, dude. You were. I have a sword. Anyway. So I have 5 gold left and a claymore.
You've been wanting a sword for some time now.
Oh my god, I finally got my sword back. I can't believe you lost my sword.
I have 16 gold left and all the gear in the known universe.
3 daggers, a correctly identified Boros scimitar, and a Dourbark shield.
Yeah.
You're quite the nice. Collector.
Mm-hmm. I've got 3 gold. An Avacyn bow, 15 silver arrows, 5 iron, and a buckler.
Buckler.
You loaded yourself some stuff this time, plot driven. So,
well, there's a few. So the big thing we're in terms of questions is why did we come to this plane and why can we not leave? And there was the thing about the originator.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. the other leads we got, what were the other leads we got? We know that
a kingdom called Tyr or Tyre to the east of Edda.
And the king is a planeswalker, so he might know stuff. Well, I guess it depends on how recently that journal was written.
Well, that's a potential location for us to seek next time.
Well, at the very least, like, a king back in the day was a planeswalker, probably. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find out what happened. We're going to have to try to find out what happened to Aristotle, the merfolk douchebag from Mercadia, and who is Donathir that invited him here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good summary. I'm impressed. Anything
I was
else?
Taking notes, and I have all these wings.
So the waitress invited you to come back and visit the next day. Taverns are really good gossip spots, so
yeah,
if those are the names, if Donathir is the name of someone that anyone knows, then it'll be either someone will either be able to give us some gossip or someone will be able to tell us a story if it's someone that happened a long time ago.
Just and if FYI, nothing else, we'll have to go back to the godforsaken library.
Just FYI, I'm not going to give any spoilers except that you're going to wake up really hungry because you didn't eat anything that day. You drank a lot.
When you said you stayed here about 2 hours, I was like, but I was going to eat a biscuit. Okay. We got to shooting the breeze and drinking our Joe.
We still have 2 days worth of rations in the ration bag.
That's so correct. Whatever. And plenty of water.
We'll have to make sure we stock up before we make another excursion out of the city.
But you're gonna wake up like must eat something. So
I wonder if they have biscuits, you guys. Yeah, we're trying to sleep. I have all these wings and I want a biscuit. I bet the angel snores like a son of a bitch.
Angelic body, angelic soul, snores like a freight train.
I like the way the angel is just me with boobs and wings. I'm beginning to think that I'm missing the whole point of role play.
Well, the real challenge will be if you ever do this again and you roll a different character to distinguish them.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I just won't be hot and sword obsessed, and that'll be easy.
How's that work?
So shall we wrap it up then, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll try and see if I can get outside tonight.
It's there. Clues did a sky check on Monday. The sky was still there. Why are you going outside tonight?
Part of my final thought for tonight was there's actually two things. I actually wrote them down so that I wouldn't forget them.
Oh, I do that.
Brian.
No, I actually do that every now and then when I'm like, I have to remember this. And then I don't do it other times when. Ooh. So what do you got, Dirk?
First, where did I write it down? Don't you hate when that happens? Oh,
the first rule of Dirk's final thoughts is you don't talk about Dirk's final thoughts.
final thought was I was really, really, really hoping I was going to get my computer back by today so that I could be able to do the recording. I got my computer upgraded.
Nice.
So when I took it in to have the guy look at it and get it, do some upgrades, I was going to get the processor and the memory upgraded. And when he looked at it, he said, it's as upgraded as it can be with the current motherboard because it was not meant as a gaming PC. So we got a new motherboard, new processor, got 16 megabytes of RAM installed into it. I already had a video card and everything.
What? Should we assume that he meant gigabytes? Let's assume he meant gigs.
Yeah, gigs, sorry.
I said megabytes. 16 megs of RAM? You've got 64 megs of hard drive? No one will ever use all of that.
No, it's a...
See, I'm so computer illiterate, you could probably sell me on that.
It's the RAM. The RAM is... I originally only had 4, and I upgraded to 16.
Nice.
But the processor is upgraded it to a 3.4 gig processor.
How many cores?
It's a dual core. The only way I could go higher is that I'd have – mine's an i5.
Oh, okay.
If I move it up to an i7, it'll be quad core.
Right.
So, but needless to say, one of the big reasons why is because my computer could not play the current version of WoW very well. Uh-oh. It was very laggy. Whenever he looked at it, he said that mine actually was not able to use all of the RAM and was not able to use the video card to its highest extent because the processor and the motherboard were literally restricting the amount of information that could flow on the board. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was actually handicapping what I had on there, the hardware I had. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with it now, everything is working way better and it has more room to upgrade.
So are you able to WoW like a boss now?
Oh man, I have never played WoW with it without like lag at least some point. It has not lagged yet.
Ooh.
And I upped the video, the quality of the material of the video, and it's awesome. Yes.
Oh, so you turn the settings up too and still no lag?
Yeah.
Isn't that glorious?
One shy of the highest. I'll go do it in just a second, okay? And then my second final thought was why I had mentioned I can't wait to go outside is because tonight is supposed to be peak Pleiades.
Really?
Oh, cool. One of the meteor showers is supposed to be peak tonight.
Hmm. Interesting.
And it's supposed to be twice as active as it normally is. So that's one of the things I'm going to try and do after this is to go and look at the meteor shots. Anything. You want to say anything, Leighton?
No. Just like his daddy.
He's trying to get me to go and do a few things in there. So with that, I will have to bounce because someone is still up even though it's after their bedtime.
Sorry, I was recording.
I know. So, all right, with that is my final thoughts.
Awesome. Well, night, Zerk.
Night, Dirk. Congrats on not getting drunk.
Are there any girls there?
She was cute.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.
For my final thought, I'm just going to say it's great to talk to these guys. And I'm actually going out of town tomorrow. I've got work in the morning followed by like 10 hours of driving or more. So that's going to be really interesting, especially if I have to go to this 2:00 hearing that I'm afraid I'm going to have to go to, that I'm trying really hard not to have to go to. But then that's going to mean I'm going to be driving starting at like 3 or after 3. So we may not make it the whole way tomorrow, but I hate stop. I'm not a big fan of driving. I don't do it a whole lot like Chewy does, so I like to get it over with. I'm not one of those guys, the journey is its own reward. No. The reward is at the end of the journey, it's where I'm going. So, I don't like stopping, but if Carrie's not feeling well, she's doing much, much better, but if she's not feeling well, if I'm just too tired, then I may have to stop. But, looking forward to having a little bit of that when, you know, yeah, not the driving, but and yeah. So this was fun. I really truly hope you guys enjoyed it, not just Mike and Chewy and Dark. Although I really hope they do, because if it's not fun for them, it's not fun for anybody. But I hope this was fun for everybody listening too. It's always tough when you know you make something and you hope other people like it because you get invested in it. But I really do want to hear people's thoughts. I tried to take a lot of the comments that were made from the last episode into consideration. Not that I am just, oh, well, people say they want elephants, I'm going to do elephants now. But because this is a learning process for me, I tried to take a lot of that constructive criticism, and I appreciate it. And let me know what you guys think about this one. And I don't know that I really have anything else constructive to say. The Emerge deck just looks awesome. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure you've heard it by now. But if you haven't, you know, Owen Turtenwald, I don't know. Is that his name? Okay.
Yes.
Played the deck at the Pro Tour, and it was great. So you should definitely check out the semifinal where he played LSV. Are you going to have a link to that in the show notes?
Maybe. I suppose I can, yeah.
Okay. I'm putting you on the spot. All right. At this point, I really am just
for that? No, go find it yourself.
At this point, I really am just rambling, so I'm just going to say this is fun. Let me know what you think, and good night.
Cool. It was fun. Thank you, B.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess that's you and me then there, Mikey Poo.
Yeah, it is.
With your one Joe.
Final thought. The Emerge deck that Brian was talking about was awesome, but I think if I go to game day this weekend, I'm going to put together a season's past list that I saw from the top eight of a Star City event not too long ago. I started kind of like assembling it in the floor, and there's several like random commons and uncommons that I'm randomly missing, and some rares that I'm missing one or more copies of that I thought I had. So I'll need to think about that. I don't know whether I'll be able to practice it at FNM if I go tomorrow. That'll be the first FNM I've been to in quite a while. I just don't know if I'll have time to like show up and buy the stuff that's missing and join the event. I'll just have to see.
Word.
But, yeah, it's a really cool list. Seasons past, the whole idea of a Seasons Past deck is just really entertaining to me, just with the wacky and dumb way it works. It's like you get to play a blue deck without actually having to put any islands in it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Besides that, I don't think I got anything else.
All right, then. Well, then that leaves me. And yeah, this is fun. I think Brian might be slightly getting caught up in some minutia that, since this is being recorded for the purposes of entertaining people, is a little bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find your way to the town? No, you went to Mel's Potions. Yeah, okay, thanks, Brian. But
hey, maybe
I think other than that, it was
maybe
fine.
We wanted some potions. Who knows?
Mel's Potions, like Bob's Meat.
I would like to buy 3 flasks of your finest anti-drunk potion.
You're gonna wake up with a headache, you know that, right? I'm an angel. I don't get headaches unless I get bashed in the head with something. And I know that's true because I just made it up.
When you were talking about the angel snoring, I started to imagining like the Donald Duck snore.
Except it's more like swords. Stab it. What? Anyway, so yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being a snarky angel. I don't know why. I think I've been hanging on Bill too long. Bill's very snarky.
Yeah.
I'm also really tired. I had Chinese buffet for lunch/dinner. So I will never eat again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Right. Well then, on the YouTube front, it is ramping up into a glorious time. Let's see. We recorded last week, right? So that was the 4th.
Right.
So since the last time we... No, the 3rd. Whatever. Since the last time we recorded, I have posted the Tavern Brawl, of course. A current Rocket League videos. Me and Billy from It Might Be Gaming and Jacob. And today's Jacob's birthday. Happy birthday, you young bastard. He's always... I talk to Jacob on, like, Messenger more than I talk to Mike. So...
Yeah.
That's because Mike doesn't love me. Or I don't love Mike?
Yeah. Column A, column B.
It's more like Mike's never actually on there to be like, dude, what's up? Because Mike's phone is old. So.
Yeah. My phone is kind of sucky.
So, but yeah, it's one game of 3-on-3 standard soccer cars and 2 games of Snow Day, which is the hockey version of Rocket League with me and Billy and Jacob. And there's a noticeable difference between when that one was recorded and the one before it, because in those 3 months between that, I got not real good, but I got a lot better at the game.
Well, yeah, it seems like each one of you understood like a strategy for playing the game and could execute it,
yeah,
as opposed to just drive at the ball.
Woo! I've gotten a lot better at things like boost management and, you know, knowing where the ball is going and know which way to hit it, that sort of thing, in that time. And you can really tell if you watch the previous videos and then watch that one. It's like, oh, who'd you hand the controller to? Hey, screw you. I've also posted the second Shadows Over Innistrad story where I did the third and fourth fights. I still haven't recorded the finale, so I don't know what it's like, but people are like, I can't wait for you to see that. And I was like, oh, So I'll be doing that soon. The most recent video to go up was actually completely different. It's a Hearthstone thing. I acquired my first golden hero portrait, which you get by winning 500 games in ranked mode with a given class. You get the golden hero, and mine was Hunter. And because I'd never gotten a golden hero before and didn't know what it looked like and how cool it would be, I decided I would record it and share it with everyone else because... we were talking before, Brian is only like halfway to his first ranked hero, or his golden hero, because he doesn't play on the ladder very much, whereas that's like the only way I play. So
that's the only way I play too, but I try to spread the love to all the classes equally, so
yeah,
it's going to be a while before I get there.
When the Undertaker Face Hunter was still legal and unnerfed, I went real hard in that. That's the month that I got to like rank, I think it was 4?
Yeah,
the first time I got that high. So, yeah, that was pretty sick. So I have a lot more wins with Hunter. But in case you're wondering what that looks like and how cool it is, it was pretty cool. I also showcased my the two Hunter decks I have built, which are actually pretty similar. But that's something I don't usually do, is just play normal ladder games and commentate them, which a couple people seem to really enjoy, which is weird. That's what Kibler's for, right? Because he's, like, good at this game and knowledgeable and stuff. But I am entertaining. See what I did there? But anyway, so yeah, if you've ever wondered what it's like to get a golden hero portrait, well, I can show you. It's on the YouTube channel right now, and it'll be on themanipool.com shortly. Because I forgot to put it there, because I'm bad at this game.
Oops.
Yeah, but the other big news that's coming out, Handsome Mr. Frog is now on Steam, and I recorded a video for it, again, on Steam. They actually made some gameplay changes, a little bit, some tweaks, you know, and changed how often you get hats. And I actually, spoiler alert, I actually made it all the way through all four worlds and started over.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like you know, Donkey Kong?
Uh-huh.
The original Donkey Kong arcade game, you know, once you get through all the levels, you just start over on the first one again and keep looping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sort of like that, except hard mode. And I died, like, almost immediately. So, but it was a lot of fun. I'll have that up, hopefully, in the next day or two. If I don't drive somewhere tomorrow, then the Handsome Mr. Frog on Steam video will go up. By the way, it's 99 cents. It was on sale for its first week or so. For 89 cents, and you can't beat that with a hammer. Like, it's such a much fun. A big thanks to Blaze and Cowboy Color for, sending me the code. They also sent me, Charge Shot, which Mike and I are gonna have to try out sometime. It's a local multiplayer game, so I gotta get Mike's ass over here.
Okay.
Yeah, and his beard, and we'll try it out. Ouch. Man, these new headphones are still squeezing my freaking head.
Aren't they the same kind that I have? Except, like, not old.
I have no idea.
They look that way.
But, what else?
I mean, the one I have is something you gave me a long time ago.
Oh. I don't remember. Oh, wait, was that my bridal party gift from Squanto, right? I gave you that headset.
Something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea then. That was when I got fired from the, not fired, laid off, let go, whatever, from the, when the Dell plant closed from the other job. So that was like 100 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, the Handsome Mr. Frog video is going up very soon. And today, the next Hearthstone solo adventure dropped. It's called One Night in Karazhan. And it's Medivh, the Guardian, before he went all evil and crazy. And he's throwing a big disco party. Yeah. And the prologue is available to everyone. So for those of you that aren't going to buy the... adventure or are still saving up gold, go play the prologue. It's free and you get 2 cards for it and they're pretty good. So the first video of that will be going out. I'll be trying to knock those out 1 per day over the next 4 days. 5 days? There's 3, 4, 5 days. Yeah, sorry. So yeah, if you want to see how that adventure is. It's a lot of fun. I've played everything but the class challenges, and it's awesome. Got to beat up some flatware. Got to insult a mirror. Yeah, hell yeah. Nothing worse than beating up the flatware. That flatware was terrifying, too. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now. So, you can. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/C/TheManaPool. All of these Hearthstone and Magic Duels videos are going to be on themanapool.com as well. Speaking of themanapool.com, earlier this week, the very last Peculiar Flavor Roundup went up on the website by Mike Okahara. He's been doing them for, what, over 2 years now, every Monday?
Yeah, I had no idea until he said that, but then I looked back at how long he had been doing the roundups on the site, and I'm like, well, yeah, I guess that has to be right, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he said that it's just taking up too much time and energy to actually be done efficiently and still be entertaining, so he's decided to quit while he's ahead instead of drawing it out, you know, like modern day comic strips. So, poor Garfield.
Multiple, being able to have enough updates for multiple cards a day, pretty much every day for 2 years.
Is completely insane.
Is impressive. Is very impressive.
Yeah. So I told him we're going to have to bring him on the show sometime soon to give him a proper send off.
Yeah.
Because he was, what was the name of the episode? Was it A Pineapple Based Economy?
Yes, it was. I remember.
Oh my God. He's got the greatest, like timing, for his, it's sort of like the reason that I brought Bill onto Monday Night Magic was because he's just got that timing and the wit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lot of fun. So we're going to have to bring him on as a thank you for, having content up on the site forever now. And I'm totally going to miss him. I mean, I'm not going to miss him. It's not like he moved out. He's just not going to be putting stuff on the site anymore. But you should follow him on Twitter. He's Blue Sun Hired Gun. He very rarely tweets. And when he does, it seems to be about the Mariners. So, hey, if you're a Mariners fan.
Yeah, I was noticing that when I was looking at it earlier today.
But yeah, a big thanks to Mike Okahara, not this bearded jackass here. All of that. And by all means, go check out the archives of the Peculiar Flavor Roundup and go to flavortext.lol where all of the peculiar, it's such a hard word for me to say, where all of that stuff is that he's been doing for the last ever.
I think he still plans on updating it, right? With like some best ofs and then sometimes during a preview season, if he gets inspired, he'll post up some new stuff.
I think he said that, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, go, by all means, go check that out. Okay, now we'll be done. So, you can, follow me on Twitter @TheManaPool, send us dorks an email. The email address is dorks@themanapool.com. It's weird how that works, isn't it? You can, the YouTube channel, like I said, is youtube.com/C/TheManaPool, or just search for TheManapoolTube, that's the actual channel name. Facebook.com/TheManaPool. Yawn.
Yep.
And then there's the Patreon. If you want to help support what I do with all of these, all of this video production, all of these podcasts, Monday Night Magic, and the Mana Pool, and the three questions. I still have to do the last three questions. Charlotte, crap, I didn't finish it yet. Okay, and that. I've been so into getting all this other stuff done that I just see that one just fell off. And it had good stuff on it too. Okay, I'll finish that soon. So yeah, if you want to help a brother out with making the content creation a full-time job, then check out the Patreon. Every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. If you want, you can get all Manapool episodes and all of the YouTube videos early. If you really want, you can get the odds and ends, which is all the stuff that's recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool. And it's uncensored and unfiltered, and there's lots of swearing, especially when the recording software doesn't work. And, yeah, I think I described it recently on, Monday Night Magic Odds and Ends. We don't affect characters. Well, okay, this episode we did. But because we're doing the role-playing game. But we don't, like, affect characters or anything when we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Like, this is just who we are. This is how we are all the time. But, we do dial it back just slightly because, well, I try to keep it PG-13.
Yeah, our show personalities are us, except the, you know, slightly more professional and non-sweary side.
Yeah, with a filter. Whereas the Odds and Ends, it's completely just whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, especially after the show, because both Chewy and I are just kind of sitting here on the couch, and I'm exhausted, so I'm just like,
And yeah, those of you that have met me in person, or, you know, if you ever watched any of my stand-up back in the day, you know, I swear like a sailor. And people who just listen to the show, they're like, it's so weird to hear you curse. And I'm like, really? Because it's so weird to not hear me curse. But anyway, we talk about all kinds of things, you know, our love life, the things that we're watching or reading or whatever, things that have been going on, work, how much we hate white people, just whatever. So if you've ever wanted to hear what goes on outside of the show, then by all means, go check it out. Yeah, that Chinese food was killing me. So I'm going to go now and put the show together and take a nap. So it's patreon.com/themanapool, by the way, in case you missed that. So yeah, hell yeah. Mike, anything else? We're done? That's good, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so this has been episode 430 of The Manapool, brought to you, as always, by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go get a sword. I mean, play some magic.